going through the same thing. And it just really seemed to resonate. And a lot of people started to say, you know, Randy, this isn't just for entrepreneurs. Everyone can only pick three. And from there, I've really been researching and writing and thinking about this topic for several years now on how different people prioritize.
Zuckerberg also told me she hopes that people learn to reject the unrealistic burden of balance and enjoy successes in their own lives by picking the most important areas in their focus on any given day. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, hello, Hunterdon County. It's time to hear more about what's happening with our weather this afternoon. We have chance of showers, as we've had all along, I think, this week, with an occasional peak of the sun. However, we've reached a high of 71 today. There are chances of showers and patchy fog tonight. I drove home through some of that fog last night. I wonder about you. A low of 57 only, so a fairly warm evening ahead. And tomorrow, showers are likely 70%, so that's more than likely, if you ask me. Cloudy, not too windy, and it's just the precipitation factor that we can pretty much count on in terms of tomorrow's weather.
Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out,
it's a spiritual occasion. I am your host, Suzanne Legay, and we're streaming live from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Now, life is a spiritual occasion is a continuing discussion, really, of the spiritual nature of all life. Whether or not you're a religious person, most of us have a sense, I think, of our own spirituality. So today we're going to be examining if or how one's sense of spirituality is affected by the aging process. Aging being a universal experience, but one over which we have no control. is expressed individually, I'm sure. But it's often heralds this sort of inward turning, a reflecting upon the self, and that's the self with a capital S, I think. So with us today, we have Linda Bryant to help us sort of recognize and understand that process and perhaps our own ourselves and others in the bargain. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest before we welcome her officially. Linda Bryant recently retired, as in just a week ago, as the director of the Hunterdon Center for Healthy Aging and the Central Jersey Regional Memory Center at the Hunterdon Medical Center. Her background is in nursing, and she has certification in gerontology from Rutgers School of Social Work. She developed the aging experience in, 1985, a sensitivity training program, which she's used in many healthcare facilities, including the Family Practice Residency Program here at Hunterdon Medical Center. She developed the geriatric assessment program with Dr. Waters in 1993. She's also given many presentations to nursing homes, community programs, senior groups. She's been with the Hunterdon Medical Center since 72. They must have been pretty alarmed at losing you with that expertise and that contribution you've made. She received a Leadership Excellence Award in 1996 and has been with the United Way representative for 22 years at Hunterdon Medical Center. She also received the Francis Black Humanitarian Award, Hunterdon Medical Center in 07, and in 17 she was honored for her services, the Hunterdon Medical Center, Hunterdon United Way, and volunteer guardianship. Linda also was the originator of the NICHE program over at the hospital here in Hunterdon, and that stands for Nurses Improving Care to Health System Elders, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that as we get going. Linda's a former president and vice president of the Board of Trustees of Volunteer Guardianship. She sits on many boards and many committees, but I want to save some of this show to talk to you and not hear about you. So welcome, Linda. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for this invitation. I'm really looking forward to today's discussion.
Well, good. Tell me what led you to direct your life's work to healthy aging and to gerontology.
Interesting. I can tell you that from age 6 that I wanted to be a nurse. I knew that right off the bat. I didn't realize my interest in dealing with the older population till a little bit later. But I think the influence that I had lived with my father's mother, my grandmother, from 1 to age 3. And I do remember her. I do have wonderful memories of her. And I think she has been a tremendous influence in the way I've thought about elderly. I had a very, very positive experience with her in my life. But as a young kid, I lived in an apartment building in the Bronx. And I used to visit a few elderly people in their apartments who lived alone. And I just kind of, over time, cultivated that connection. I've had wonderful friendships with older adults in my life. There's so much that they give. They're wonderful historians. They have so much life experience to share. And I could go on and on because I've had them in my life, all of what I can remember.
I love that now that Hunter and Chamber Radio has a visual component, that the two of us are sitting here talking about they.
Here we are.
And I probably shouldn't include you in that same batch as me, but it's just enjoyable to be talking about them when we're talking about the age.
Right.
So I think we all become enlivened, don't we, by the things that are passionate in our lives and sort of drive us to those things that give us most satisfaction. And it sounds like this early experience. And I wonder if how many of our audience has had an experience like that early on, in terms of what shapes, either consciously or unconsciously, eventually shapes the lives that we lead, you know?
Absolutely. And I think positive experiences particularly last with you. Negative ones certainly can, but the positive ones are gems. You know, they're sort of the gems in the crown, if you can.
Yeah. And there's a whole other part of you, which is why you're here talking to us today about spirituality and aging. We certainly heard your bona fides in terms of your gerontology and that part of your life. But I also know that you have a strong spiritual component and some pretty rich experiences in your past that have led you to sort of observe, understand, and help others in this in this whole concept of spirituality and aging. Could you let our audience know about that part of you?
Sure. Well, as a child, you know, I had a very strong upbringing in the church. I was raised as an Episcopalian, and I served on the choir and the altar guild, a very big part of my life. And I, over time, kind of left it, you know, but life experiences sort of brought me to a point in my life when I was really in a lot of pain, and I started to seek
emotional
out emotional
pain. Are we talking about
emotional pain?
Okay,
that brought me to a place of really needing to find what matters to me. Where can I find that comfort? Where can I find that connection to myself again? And that kind of led me on a spiritual journey. My husband also is very spiritual. And when we got married, we decided to take a trip, which would happen to be our honeymoon, actually. But we traveled through Europe, and we lived for 6 months in India. And we stayed on actually more than one ashram in India, seeking information and learning about spirituality and about ourselves. And that was sort of a very strong mark for me to follow that. I think that was probably one of the most spiritual times in my life. Working has a way of kind of getting in the way of doing some of the practices and some of the things that I did at one point in time. But now that I'm retired, I kind of look forward.
One week.
I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm getting very close to it. But I think that I want to go back to that journey again and revisit it, because it was such a rich, colorful time in my life, but it brought me a tremendous amount of comfort.
I think that part that we're calling spirituality, that part that if, regardless of religion, regardless of one's relationship to a greater power. It's that part of us that we understand ourselves very deeply. And I think that when we have that kind of time, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as we go along, it's sort of when we come in harmony with that which already exists. It exists, period, and it exists in us. And it's that joining together that produces that richness that says, you know, this works somehow. But I also think that spirituality in general, not necessarily in aging, but it's a practice. It's a discipline, isn't it?
It definitely is a discipline.
To focus on that part of self that's contributory, that's positive, that's service oriented, that's giving. I was sitting in a business meeting yesterday, and someone began to complain about a coworker. And another person sitting at the table said, well, you know, we all have experiences like that. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about. And I understand the frustration of dealing with, you know, this individual in the public, right? And I just thought to myself, what a wonderful contribution at a meeting, because it's very easy to go down that rabbit hole, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you were talking about work and how it sort of drags you away. From that concentration on spirituality, and yet all you have to be is just to have that light on a little bit of consciousness that led to this individual contributing that, and it really, really impressed me.
And I think in the aging process itself, you know, people, there was a, I think of some of the teachings that I've done about aging, and there was a test called the IQ of aging, and it was really to dispel myths and wrong beliefs about the aging process. And one of the questions that was on this test, and the test was developed by a Dr. Palmore, and the question was, does the aging population become more religious as they age? And the answer to that is false, because not all people are religious.
Yes.
People who have had a strong religious upbringing or connection in their life may kind of float away from it, but then as they age, many of them go back to their religions because they have the time. They're not distracted by jobs, children, obligations, etc. So what he was saying is that they've already had that seed planted, and it's just something that's become renewed or enlivened again. But everybody has some kind of spirituality. And it's the spirituality that everybody might have. And the difference between the two that he explained was religion is a set of dogmas, which is rules and policies, if you will, or practices.
Belief systems.
Belief systems, exactly. And that spirituality is just something that really connects with you on a soul basis, on a real deep spiritual way. So I believe that everybody can find that, whether it's in nature, whether it's in just sitting and reading poetry or writing. It can be spiritual in any way that works for the individual.
That makes that, if I'm understanding correctly, that makes that individual unique connection between you and that part of you, which is loving or comfort, at comfort with yourself.
Exactly.
Or at comfort with life or being.
Right.
Okay.
And some people might revert to prayers, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could be just being in nature, sitting and meditating, sitting and just looking at something that really brings pleasure.
I like the notion that you included nature and poetry, and the arts speak to us all.
Absolutely.
Definitely individually. But with a way, you know, it can be music, right? It's that part that speaks to us individually, that enlivens or re-enlivens or shines the light on who we are deep inside, I think. And,
yeah.
And what allows us to understand self, as I say, I always say with a capital S. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily, but, you know, the being who we are.
Right.
And the connectedness
our
that we
emotions,
have.
Our emotions, what our feelings. I knew a gentleman who, very unemotional for the most part, really closed, who would listen to opera and cry. I mean, that's the music, you know, and opera can be almost felt as like a soul reaching, you know, vibration. And this would bring this man to tears. You know, it was a very moving experience to see someone who always had that controlled feeling about him just cry, just weep.
And yet it's a rhythm that individual tapped into.
Absolutely.
Of something that exists that brings that to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, we have to pause for a moment and hear a little bit from our sponsors, which really helped very much in terms of keeping Hundred and Chamber Radio streaming live as it is with its rich programming and so forth. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we'll be back very shortly to continue with Linda Bryan, and we're talking about spirituality and aging.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, welcome back to Life as a Spiritual Occasion and to our guest, Linda Bryant. We've established Linda's vast experience in both the topics that we're combining today to look at together, and that is aging and also spirituality and how the one affects the other and vice versa. So let's get down to that topic. What's your observation of the relationship of spirituality and aging? Does it increase? Does it decrease? Does it show up differently than it does through life? How does that you've had quite a while in your area of expertise to examine that up close and personal, and I'm wondering what some of those observations would be that you could share with our audience.
Well, the first statement I've made many times of just trying to get the point across, not everybody likes bingo. And I use that expression because so many times, whether it's in nursing homes or in assisted living facilities, you know, Bingo is a fun thing, but not everybody wants to participate. They don't like it, you know. But they do sort of associate as you get older, you should like it, I guess, is the term. But spirituality is the same way. It's not the same for everyone. It's sort of going back, whether it's the arts or it's going back to a more dedicated religious process in your life, going to church during the week as well as on Sunday or whatever it is that works for you. But it's different for everyone. And I think that when someone begins to retire or live alone or get to a point where perhaps they can't be as active as they used to, some of these opportunities, if you want to call them that, lend themselves very well into exploring some of that spirituality that they once had. They have more time on their hands. And in some instances, sadly, people, you know, as they do age, some people are at the end of their life for whatever reason. It could happen even when you're younger, too. People die at any age, any time. But sometimes towards the end of life, they feel the time is shorter and they want to do something that's much more meaningful.
That's interesting. In one way, there's more time to examine that, and it may be that there's less. Both are drivers, evidently, for folks to look inwardly.
Absolutely.
And I think this inward focus has to do, perhaps, I think you alluded to it before, about less distraction. You know, how does one fill one's time? But it's not getting up, getting your hose on or your suspenders if you're male, and getting off to work and the traffic and all that. So there's less distraction. I'm going to, you know, sort of push a little bit here and say, what's the connection with life experience? What does it, if it arrives differently, if this thing called spirituality in our lives and in all life, I would just pose, What life experience is our way, I guess, of being buffered and polished and whatever. How does that play out with this increased sense? Well, I'm saying increased. Is that an assumption? Is that a false assumption that there's an increase in spirit, not religiosity, but spirituality?
Yeah. I think there is. I think people try to find that niche in their life. In Hunterdon County, there's a lot of people that garden, and they've gardened their whole life. And then all of a sudden, they take this master's gardener program. You know, to me, it's sort of like intensifying this real connection with the earth and with growing things and plants and flowers and whatever. It's a passion for them, and I think that's something they've always had. And to use a term of cultivating, they're cultivating more of that spiritual connection.
Nicely done.
So I think that there's opportunities in a lot of different places, in ways in your life, whether it's taking a course in music appreciation just to hear the different artists, whether it's learning poetry, writing poetry, just reading poetry, making a difference. I think that there's something that moves you at some point in your life, and all of a sudden you find yourself back in that place where now I can spend time doing what I really love doing, and I just didn't have the time.
And is that's something that you see when you make it a little clearer to me and hopefully our listeners, when you ran the Center for Healthy Aging, you see folks that want to maintain that, or do you see folks that are wavering from that? Who the population that you study most closely, describe them a little bit.
Well, I think that, you know, I've joked that if you want to go and see an older adult, you need to make an appointment, because most of them are busy. They want to be involved. They want to do the things they enjoy. I think Hunterdon County's got one of the most incredible centers for seniors, the Center for Aging, Disabilities, and Veterans Affairs. They have an incredible list of things to do, from playing cards to doing yoga, tai chi. There's everything under the sun that I think most seniors would enjoy doing that they really didn't do to any depth when they were busy with families and work.
Yeah. I spoke with that group that you speak at that you're talking about at the senior center on Friday, and one of the complaints they speak to the governing body group annually, which I think given the response, I think it needs to be more frequently nonetheless. And, you know, someone is saying it's hard to get into the computer. It's hard to get to the computer lab. You know, I mean, the seats are filled and when can I get there? And someone else is saying someone said that they wanted shading over the bocce court. But then someone else said, nobody's doing bocce anymore. We want Italian. We want that. And what it showed me was, yes, they were expressing themselves, their likes and their dislikes all at once. And it was very dynamic and very enjoyable. Was that how the flexibility or the interest level doesn't wane?
Absolutely not. Yeah,
it was really enlivening.
I think that's what's really wonderful about aging, because people still want to learn. They love their grandchildren. Many of them are learning about smartphones. They're learning about emails. They're learning about texting because they want to stay in touch with this younger generation. They may not want to do a lot on Facebook, but they want to be friends with their grandchildren so they can see what's going on.
What they're doing.
And they need to know that technology to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's what's great about the whole thing.
And it is not static. That's the one thing I learned. I mean,
really?
they're changing what it is they're asking for and why. And I guess the staff over there is double-stepping to make sure that those needs, growth and development needs are
but
being met.
But it's healthy.
Oh, yeah.
It's very healthy. One of the things that is detrimental when you retire is just to not do anything. I mean, some people can't
Jeez,
be
can't
really
take
physical,
like a week? Can't you take a week off and do nothing?
Right.
Come on, please.
No. But seriously, learning a language is wonderful for the brain. You know, it's really giving yourself a challenge. It's making you think. And learning something new is really healthy for the brain. And languages, learning an instrument, learning to play guitar, learning to play new card game, anything that really stimulates that thinking. The other thing that's really wonderful about the center is staying in touch with people. Isolation is not good. I feel that the healthiest seniors are those, for the most part, who have some kind of engagement, whether it's family, whether it's a club that they go to on a regular basis, where they're stimulated in conversation, in thought process, and learning new things.
And I'm going to underscore what you said about Hunterdon County having a very robust program in that domain, and it is used highly by the seniors in the county. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting to see that kind of vitality.
Yes.
And I know that many of the seniors that are there for the services also contribute services.
Oh, yes. Many of the teachers or instructors. I think about the Healthy Bones class that they have, and they're all run by seniors.
Yeah.
I think about the Tai Chi classes and some of the other physical programs that they have, chair yoga. They're not very elderly people, but they're over 65, so people that are teaching.
They had a dance recital sometime in the last several weeks, in the last month. And one of the folks that was in had multiple forms of dance. They have tap and they have ballet and they have, I don't want to misquote what else is going on there, but there was a 93-year-old that participated in several forms of dance in that recital. So, I mean, it's charming and it's also very encouraging.
Absolutely. I have a friend I just...
Joy helps spirituality. There's no doubt about that, right? It brings out that part of us, the sense of being joyful, expressing that joy to others. And it again, I keep using the word enlivens, but I believe that that's so. I mean, it joins you into the rhythm of that part of yourself that celebrates life.
Absolutely. I just had a friend that I had lunch with, and I said, so what are you doing? Because she is retired. And I usually wind up calling her when she's on vacation somewhere, traveling. And so I said, where have you been? What have you been doing? And she said to me, well, you know, aside from trips, she said, you know, I'm taking ballet. And she's in her mid to late 70s. And I said, wow, ballet. She says, yeah. And she says, I'm even in the intermediate class now. So, I mean, she takes pride in it. It's a physical thing, but she is pursuing something she's never pursued in her life, but it must have been a dream of some sort for her to even venture into it. So there's something for everyone there.
Yeah, because the thought of that just, I can't even imagine it for myself. But when we talked earlier about, you know, sort of how are we going to approach our conversation a little bit, you read a quote to me from the author, Dan Brown, in his new book, Origin. And it was a very interesting quote, and I wonder, I'm going to ask you not only if you would, do you have it with you that you
yes,
might
I
be?
Do. Yeah.
Okay, if you would read it, but then I want to know what lit up for you when you read that, because you did report it to me for this conversation, and so I'd like to examine that a little bit. So if you would read it for.
Oh, sure, sure. The book Origins is about religion, and it's about technology. And artificial information, or an artificial intelligence, I should say. So the quote was, "The miracles of religion would have an increasingly difficult time competing with the miracles of technology."
So if we were to supplant spirituality instead religion, I'm going to ask you to misquote Dan Brown. Would you read it one more time for?
Sure. "The miracles of religion would have an increasingly difficult time competing with the miracles of technology."
Pretty interesting.
Yes.
Speak to that.
Well, you know, religion is based on a lot of miracles, you know, and the thing that's so amazing today is the miracle of what we have developed in technology. It's almost beyond comprehension when I think about it. And in this book, you know, it played out. It was, and I don't want to...
Spoiler, no spoilers here.
Spoil the ending for anybody, but reading the book, you'll understand, but this sort of summarized it. It was like the advancement in technology today is so incredibly rich and so advanced that it really does spin your mind when you think about it. It's hard to wrap your mind around some of the things that we can do.
Yeah. Is technology is outward focusing by and large as opposed to this inward focusing that we're talking about. So is it competitive? I don't know. The statement itself says, you know, would one put the other to shame? That's a pretty hard premise. I haven't read the book. You've sort of tantalized me enough that I might order it and read it, but and I suppose that we could talk about is it not a miracle when one rediscovers one's spirituality?
Right.
You know, some of these things that you and I are talking about,
exactly.
With the more time and the more introspection and the more coming back to the roots was one of the things that I jotted down that you said and so forth. So that in itself is a miracle, right? When you discover you have time to examine that. So I think that even the premise focuses on an assumption, right? At least for me, I mean, I don't know, as I say, I've not read the book, but I like the quote and I like the fact that you mentioned it. I might have to cough here. Excuse me.
If I could just mention a couple of things about that. If you look today, whether it's a young, really young group of kids or even young adults, when they have some downtime, first thing that they're doing is they're checking their cell phone. Either you're on their cell phone talking with someone or texting to someone. And it's pretty remarkable that you can walk down the street and you see people doing it. People are doing it driving, which is even against the law today, because it's unsafe.
Sure.
So when you see how much this has gripped the population, everybody.
We could perhaps call it an addiction.
Yes. And with that addictive, it's sort of imposed in many ways.
Or designed
for people. And I work with a number of physicians, and I had a physician just recently go on vacation with her husband and her little boy. She did not have her cell phone with her. And she really felt for the first time in a very long time that she was on vacation. She went away. I think she went to the islands or something like that. But she just went, she literally left and went away. And she felt that if she had had her cell phone, she never would have felt herself so engaged as she was. Even her child felt better that mommy wasn't on her phone or checking this. You know, she was present for her son. So you can see how technology today can really distract us from just being with the people we love. But I also don't want to negate the fact that the technology we have today can save lives and do things for people that never would have had the quality of life that they've got because of this technology.
Yes. It's in healthcare particularly. I mean, that's very visible in your day-to-day existence for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think I just have to express, you know, that it's the balance between the hit one brain gets from being on the phone or seeing what someone's had to say about your Facebook post and sort of balancing that with the contentment one understands about life in the other. Now, does that make one right and one wrong? I probably would weigh in on it, but others would have a different opinion. But I just, when you read that quote, I thought, wow, that's worth a whole show, perhaps. We would put three or four people in here and talk about that. But I just left a seminar this afternoon where they were talking about that really the use of the phone. And, you're talking about someone who's a physician who's using it for work and needs to be in touch with their patients or clients or whatever.
And their colleagues,
But, you know, with youth or with other people that literally has a dopamine effect and that it is an addictive kind of behavior. So there's all that. Or there's all the wonderful knowledge, of course, about the technology that saves lives, comforts lives. And then there's the whole other thing about what's the draw away from our inner exploration of whom we, you know, of who we are.
And can we find a balance? I guess that's the key. You know, you don't want to eliminate either. But can we find a balance? And I think that to maintain our spirituality, I think you have to maintain some balance. You can't be consumed by anything.
Yeah. One of my favorite images that helps me with those kinds of questions is to simply say dancing with the rhythm of life. So if we know what that balance is and we know when we're called forth to do certain behaviors and certain presentations and to be present in a certain way, versus, you know, the other part of that rhythm,
right,
which is nurturing self and others and service to others and that kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
And you don't want to be out of balance in either one of those.
Exactly.
And it's only, one would have to look outside and watch daily living. You would have to assume that that's going to be an ever-increasing challenge for folks as more and more technology and the faster pace of life and so forth. Yeah.
But just having, you know, in this very fast-paced life that we do lead, because there are just so many pulls and tugs here and there, if you can think of a time when you've just sat back, even if it's on a beach chair, and looked out at the ocean, just even for 15 minutes, and just allowed yourself to just be taking away on some of the waves, that in itself is a very incredible spiritual experience.
Yes, yeah. I'm wondering too, with your experience with healthy aging and gerontology and so forth, does the practice of supporting healthy aging, does it address or assess the overall, is spirituality involved in the assessment or the addressing of spirituality and aging? In other words, is that a topic when you say, can somebody walk a straight line or can somebody get up and down stairs or, you know, but is it where they are? And again, we're not saying any specific context to spiritual living right now, but is it part of that mix, that assessment?
Well, I think when we do assessments on people, we're looking at their well-being. And when people begin to feel like there's some kind of a dysfunction or disruption in their well-being, they start to complain of symptoms, whether it's I can't focus, I can't sleep, something's not right, maybe they're having word-finding difficulties. You have to explore, what is this all about? Is this an anxiety disorder? Is there something stressful in their lives that's interfering with their natural rhythm? Is there an illness? You know, and many people come to us because they are worried about developing a dementia of some sort. Now that's a very key piece that we see. And people who have a dementia will find a disruption in their ability to think and to focus and to word find and so on. So
I'm really good with it all until you talk about word find or name. Well, it gets only worse if you say name find.
No. Don't worry about names. I'll tell you, you know, even young people have trouble with names.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to deal with an association trick to remember names. But seriously, when you are assessing an individual, you have to look at the whole being. And if they're complaining to you about something that really is something that's cognitive or physical, it's going to eventually disturb the whole balance of the individual. And in order for them to feel at ease and to do the things that they like, the things that they want, they have to feel pretty good about themselves. So even if you have diabetes, you want to make sure your diabetes is in check. You're taking the meds, you're watching your diet, and you're getting some exercise. If your body's in a good place, your brain will be in a good place as well, unless you're developing some kind of dementia. We try to rule that out, or at least define what's going on at the time they're complaining.
And I'm inferring here, so you need to correct me if I'm wrong. So you're saying that well-being is a reflection of spirituality, or, I mean, is it, I guess the one thing is there a check, you know, a little box to check off that says in touch with some sort of spiritual awareness or consciousness, or, you know, that's the hard checkbox. The other is there an awareness that says just because they're experiencing that I just wondered if it's something that the well-being of aging looks into that. Is there something of comfort? Is there some inner way that these folks are comforted in the face of whatever is going on?
I can't say that question is asked,
okay,
to be perfectly frank.
I mean, if they're ill, you would,
but
if that comes up,
if
right?
There
but
is
just in general.
Dis-ease, which disease comes into play, you know that there is going to be some difficulty for them to enjoy whatever they really find interesting or something that moves them, if they're really uncomfortable. So you're going to know just based on whether or not they're complaining about anxiety, etc. Our social workers many times will talk with individuals to find out, well, what do you like to do? What would you like to do? So some of that does come into play when you're looking to see how we can help them kind of connect with something that would make them feel good. It's more ambiguous than very direct, to be honest with you. But we are looking for that. It's going to come out somewhere down the road that they're just not able to do what they really want and enjoy doing. And I think that's what spirituality is. I think you enjoy doing that. I think you enjoy connecting.
Okay. We're going to stop. We're going to take a brief hiatus here for a few moments and hear once again from folks that helped to bring these programs to 100 Chamber Radio. And we'll be back to talk with Linda Bryan about aging and spirituality.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, yes!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, welcome back to Life as a Spiritual Occasion with Linda Bryant. We've been talking pretty broad spectrum here about spirituality and aging. And we're sort of at our home stretch here, which always happens far too fast for me. But there's a big topic that I still had on my list that I want to explore with you, Linda. Sure. And that is we know that when we listen to our grandparents, or we did, or we listened, or they listened to us, or older folks, and they have a very rich understanding of their previous life, or they have stories to tell. They reminisce, and I think that that is a big expectation and big observation of folks, family members, colleagues, clients. In your case, in discovering them coming into this rhythm of their spirituality and their aging and so forth. And we talked recently, I had a guest on and we talked about dreams, and one of the questions, you know, dreams are real and so forth. And we said, when your kids come to you and tell you about a dream, it's real. And so to work with that. So this reminiscing, is it to be supported? Is it to be encouraged? Is it to say, that's not the way it happened, or that's not what's happened. You know, what on that spectrum in terms of this very, very typical example, I think, of the aging process. So what, tell us about reminiscing, or that, am I using the right word? Do you know what when I'm saying reminiscing? Because it's a pretty big, and it's more than just saying, oh yeah, once I had a job where. That's it. We're talking about this sort of trip down memory lane, and in that are pearls of, you know, I would say pearls of wisdom, as well as questions to be asked or engagement to be had. And yet you hear people that, I guess if you hear a lot of that from a family member or someone, you know, their hands are sort of up like this and whatever. So I need your expertise in that. I just wonder, I bet you our listeners are interested in that as well.
Well, reminiscence actually is used quite a lot in nursing facilities. Oh. You know, these are individuals that are kind of not out in the world as much, but they still have their memories. And reminiscing with them, they use music to bring out those memories. You know, if you listen to certain kinds of music, certain memories are going to be brought up, especially if you lived in that era. I think of the Beatle music. You know, I think of myself in school at the time when the Beatles came out and experiences. And I think that for our older adults, they have the same thing. You play big band music, or you play Sinatra, or any of those really wonderful, you know, classical pieces of music, they're going to think back. And, you know, you can ask the questions and draw them out. You will learn so much. And it is so, I can't think of the term, but it helps them to feel really good about themselves. Wow, I really did that then. So I think that Reminiscence is an excellent tool for anybody. It validates what their life experience has been. Now, it's extremely important for people that have dementia because many times they can't remember what they had for breakfast, but they could tell you what they wore on their prom when they graduated from high school. And that reminiscence is wonderful. I often tell people when you're going to visit an older adult, a family member, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, bring a photo album, an old photo album. Graham, tell me about this. What were you doing there? This is wonderful for both. Both are sharing stories. They're sharing life experiences. And it's amazing how things can come out, and you're more enriched as the person receiving it, but it's so validating to that older person that had the experience that they can re-share that again with someone else.
Yeah, I think seeing joy in another or being a part of allowing that to come forth. I want to do a whole show sometime on joy and spirituality. But, you know, when I think of what I didn't realize about myself, and this is, you're the guest here, and I don't want to get off on that, but that I have newfound patience with seniors and that reminiscence, because it does look to me like it's joyful, and it does look to me like there's pearls of wisdom, not just a story to be told, but an understanding. And I think that's where I'm sort of heading with this notion of spirituality, is there's that wisdom has an understanding of beingness, right?
Absolutely.
And those stories are different, but the kernels in there are about life itself, mm-hmm. and what we learn and what the bumpers, you know, when we've taken the knocks and bruises, if we know that that's for our benefit instead of, something that knocked us down, and they might temporarily, you know, but if one learns from those. And
well, it also shows strength. About 25 years ago, there was a group of seniors that I used to meet with regularly. The majority, I would say all of them, were women. Occasionally, we had a male that would come in, but most of the women were in their 80s.
Okay.
Women who lived through the Great Depression. And we talked about what their childhood was like. We talked about how they made it through. A couple of them lost their parent during the 1919 influenza epidemic,
wow.
The mm-hmm. pandemic that we had. And they talked about what they had to do to take care of siblings and to drop out of school and do the cooking at, you know, 10 years, 11 years of age, to do things that their mother or father did that they had to take on the responsibilities because of this tragedy. But here these women sat and had rich lives, but they could go back and say, wow, I don't know how I did that. How could I have done that?
And the shoulders get straighter and the bodies.
But it's, for me, it's like, wow, you know, I hadn't lived long enough to even experience what these women had. There was a 90-year-old that was in a nursing home, and she had to be in it for a while. And she called up her attorney, and she said, I want to get out of here. I'm fine. Get me somebody to take care of me in my house. And she got out. I mean, she was also a suffragette.
Oh, my goodness.
She was incredible with her stories. And this is the kind of thing that, in reminiscing about this, was so validating for these women, so empowering. It just showed their strength and what they brought, you know, to their families. They were role models for a lot of their families. So I think reminiscence is a pretty incredible experience if you can really be on a receiving end like that as well.
Yeah. As I listen to you describe these stories, there is a love component to that, right, of self,
yes.
And of the era,
yes.
And of their achievement.
Yeah.
And, I also think that it might be interesting, and I'm going to wait to see when I get to try this out, but to say to somebody, gee, so-and-so, what did you learn with all that? And just see if you can get that outpouring of the wisdom that allows, again, more recognition for them and certainly for us as we live with our aging population and what's true in their heart of hearts and their soul.
Absolutely. And I think more people need to see that. At the time we were doing this group, most of these women were widows, living alone, maintaining their own home. And we had invited our first-year family practice residents to be a part of that group for 1 hour. And we would pick a topic, whether what was medicine like when you were a child? What were some of the remedies you used? It was an experience for these new doctors to hear what went on, but also to see these women today that are now, they're doing their own shopping, they're caring for their own homes, they're coming up here and they're having a good time talking about what the good old days were, and they weren't all so good.
Yeah.
They were rough, they were tough, and it took a certain amount of strength to face what they face.
But I think that's the holding of the mirror. When someone has been through that, they can relate a story that sounds so trying and so difficult, and then they can say, and we did that, and then after that we did, you know. And so it does show strength of character, how soul expresses itself in tough times as well as in good times. And, you know, the other part of that reminiscing is purpose in life, personhood. Mm-hmm. You know, and meaning in life. Yeah. And that's why I think that when we hear this reminiscing and folks talking about the good old days, or, you know, there's sometimes where people say, you know, I liked it the way it was when. And I think to say, what did you learn? I love that sort of notion about drawing that out, because what was the good part of that you liked, rather than focusing on in comparison to what's happening now, right? But when you say you liked the good old, what about that? What was soothing? What was encouraging? What did you live through there that makes a difference? And so I think this reminiscing is more than just one person, and this is your specialty, but in one person just telling something, it's an enrichment, really.
Oh, I think you have to cultivate the situation, the environment that you do the sharing in, that we want to validate what our lives have been about. You know, setting the stage, tell us what strengths you've developed as a result of what you've experienced in your life. And we all have them.
Yes.
But it's given the opportunity to express it. And getting validated for it's very important, too.
Yeah. And I'm going to stretch farther out and say that I think a strong spiritual component is listening.
Absolutely. It's one of the rules of being a caregiver. You have to not only understand your own spirituality, but sometimes just listening to another individual talk is an incredible part of validating as well.
Wow.
Just letting them talk.
I think that we're sort of all in apprenticeship, aren't we, for aging and to keep our sense of spirituality alive as we do, as we age through life and processes. I want to thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you about this subject, and I hope so for our listeners as well, or our viewers, or our audience, I guess I need to call them now, since it's not one way or the other. And I'd like to hear from our audience as well. If you have subjects you'd like to hear on life as a spiritual occasion, or comments about our conversation today or any of the other shows, please feel free to email us at spirituality@huntertonchamberradio.com, because we can then bring programs that folks would like, or we can bring you back on and ask the questions that we didn't get to today and so forth. So, we're here every third Thursday from 4 to 5 o'clock. And life is a spiritual occasion because we believe it's so. And I want to thank you very much for being with us today, Linda, and as well as our audience. And this is Suzanne Legay saying goodbye from the bridge.
Thank you, Suzanne.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care.